comments here before I read the verse. I don't remember if I mentioned it directly, but last week's message, we did a new creation message, and in that message I said I want to follow it up with kind of a part two. And so I think the best way I can explain the intent behind the message today is last week's message was titled New Year, New Creation. And I made the point that the Christian is new in Christ every day. Amen? We do not have to wait for January 1st to decide what we want to be better at. We can do that whenever. And the great thing is through faith in Christ Jesus, we can be as new as God will see us because he has clothed us in his righteousness. So, but because these are new creation concepts, I very much do enjoy the spirit of New Year's in the resolution sense because I'm just a huge fan of personal growth. I like it when people look at themselves and are willing to admit what they are good at and what they are willing to admit what they are not good at. And to have reasonable dialogue with people because that's a part of the process of the body becoming one. I love looking myself in the mirror. I don't need your help to do that. No, just kidding. I don't mind. But, you know, constantly growing because I've just had this idea in my head from the time I was really little. If you're not growing, you're dying. And I'm just someone who just, I want to hit it out of the park for the Lord. How about you? I was just, my dad would have told you, and this is just my personality, and the majority of your personality is genetic. I mean, those markers are there. And I was just born with it in me to appease other people, particularly authority figures in my life, and that's just bore out in my own life. And I want the Lord to put me in. I want to hit it out of the park for the Lord. And I want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? Amen. So we talked a lot about new year, new creation. The first most important step in growing, overcoming obstacles, attaining the image of Jesus Christ, the first most important step is believing you can. You got to do it. If you don't think you can, that is the first step in limiting your potential in Christ Jesus. So today's message is New Year Renewal. So, okay, what's up with that? I checked with my trusted friend ChatGPT today, and he said that gym memberships do spike in January due to people making New Year's resolutions. My question that I asked was, on average, when do people stop going? And my trusted, he's not so trusted. I've already found out that he's biased. Somebody had to code him, you know. But my friend ChatGPT said mid-February. And that's such a bummer because it means that you paid for February and then only went half the time. You should have quit in the end of January. Should have just quit. The first step is setting a goal. Setting your mind. I will get fit. I will stop eating pastries. I will read 20 books this year. I fill in the blank. Maybe some of you already have some. Yeah. I mean, this whole resolution thing, I mean, are Christians resolved? Was Jesus resolved? I am resolved to longer linger. Like, we sing it. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Right? Like, we're resolved. But step one, you got to set your mind. You got to set a goal, and that is the image of Christ Jesus. Amen? Step one, you got to believe you can do it. You guys ever seen that example of those Indian elephants? That from when they're really little, they chain them to a tree or something that they can't get away from, and they keep them in captivity like that. And so their entire life, they're chained to this tree and they can't go anywhere. Then by the time when they're these massive multi-ton animals that are super powerful, all they need is a little bit of twine and a twig to keep them where they're going. Have you guys ever heard that before? Right? This animal just has to go, ping, and then just run away. And it doesn't even try to break the rope. that's attached to this twig because from when it's little, it was chained to something. And that's what we do to ourselves when we allow negative thoughts. I can't do this. This is too hard. Oh, this is boring. Or why am I here, Lord? We've got to dispel those negative thoughts. Philippians would say, get rid of them. And if you need to, pray to God about them. They're giving you anxiety, pray to Him. He said, but you turn around and you let your mind dwell on what is pure and lovely and good. Step one is believing I can. Okay, step one, I bought the gym membership. It's January 1st and I'm in the gym on the treadmill, right? But ChatGPT said, on average, I'm done by mid-February. Christians are resolved. We set our minds to overcome temptation, to become more hospitable, more patient. Maybe we need to be more forgiving. Maybe we're holding a grudge. Maybe we're even embittered. Maybe we need to be gracious, more tender-hearted, right? More kind. What? Okay. Step one is believing you can and setting the goal. Part two, new year renewal. You're going to have to renew that mind, aren't you? Because come mid-February, you've got to make a reminder of what was it I said I was going to do in the first place. The scripture talks about renewing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Look, I've only been on the earth 38 years. Many of you, even twice as long as that. I feel it from time to time. I talk with you. And I listen to your burdens and to your temptations and also your trials. Sometimes we lose heart. Life's tough. Paul and Jesus were similar in the fact that they both endured tremendously. But it was the betrayal that would happen at the hands of men that always hurt the worst. It wasn't the floggings or the imprisonments. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, night and day spent in the deep, beaten times without number. He just quit counting. How many times you got beat up? Maybe once in high school, then maybe once since then someone took your wallet. Paul's like, man, I had to quit counting. I've been beat up so many times. Are they beating him up because, you know, because of his political beliefs? Are they beating him up because of the, you know, they're beating him up because he stood on the truth of the gospel. And he's like, I quit counting. Jesus endured a lot, right? But the thing that they have in common is in the end of that section, Paul says, but above all these external things is the constant pressure and burden on me and care for all of the churches. So life's tough. Now look, we're praying to a God who understands Jesus Christ. We have faithful men like Paul who says, imitate him. And he understands. But it's tough. And so the scripture says, we don't lose heart. It's like, you know, in that moment when you're at your low and it's tough and someone's like, well, you just got to get over it. Like, thanks. But that's kind of what he's saying, right? It's like, we don't lose heart. It is possible for the Christian to not constantly despair, but to overcome. And he says, we do not lose heart, even though our outer man decaying, which is true, our inner man is being renewed day by day. As Christians, we set our mind, like the January 1st gym goer, to do things. We are very resolved to enter heaven, to be a better friend, to be a more understanding spouse, to whatever it may be. There will come a time when there is a needing for renewing in mid-February. The example that I always thought of to illustrate this was, I remember I was 20 years old, and I took my parents' camper, which is still in the family to this day. It's a 1969 Roadrunner. And if you know what those are, they were incredibly popular in their day, and they are everywhere. And like all of my parents' stuff, it's still in really good condition. All the other 1969 Roadrunners are in junkyards, except for the ones that have been restored. This one's just been kept nice. And I had a Ford F1 pickup at the time, and I was resolved that I was going to pull that thing. I had a week off of work. I was going to pull it anywhere I could go, all over Montana, all over Wyoming, and I was just going to. I even pulled that camper through the Beartooth Pass. I will never do that ever again. That is the only time I've ever been, well, there's been two times in my life I've been white-knuckled driving, and that was once pulling a camper through the Beartooth Pass, and then the other time was coming home from Kalispell when it was raining, and I actually hydroplaned for the first time in my life. Like, oh, that's what that feels like, you know, as your heart is, like, in your stomach. During that trip, we went to Yellowstone Park, some buddies of mine, and we went and saw Old Faithful. It's the only time I've ever gone. It's the only time that I've seen it. So once I got married, okay, I got married at 30. This was a few years later. So when I'm looking, but yeah, 10 years later, right? We're doing the whole, like, this box is for memorabilia. You know, hey, look, here's my first grade art award. You know, oh, cool. You know, here's my seventh grade basketball trophy. Oh, cool. And we're just, you know, the wife and I are just stuffing all this stuff in a box because I like to organize. In it, I found a bunch of pictures that I took back when they had, well, they still do, but when those disposable cameras were really popular, right? So then you'd just take the cameras, give them to Walmart, and then they'd give you the film. One-time use kind of deals. I found a bunch of these pictures. And I remembered because 10 years later, I don't remember much about that trip. In that moment, was like, I just know I went, you know. But then I got these pictures. And I'm looking, oh, yeah. Oh, that's... And now that I have these pictures, because I was able to go back and renew my memory, I remember the parking lot. I remember where I parked the camper. I remember the first place we went, which was the gift shop. I remember the boardwalks and the ramps that they have built along the side so you could walk up. And it all came flashing back in an instant. Does that make sense? I renewed. That's how it works, right? So as Christians, we've got to get a picture of what it is that we want to do by faith. And it could be something tangible, like become more patient. Or it could be something like the Bible would say, just to set your mind on things above. Or it could be, at the end of the day, it has to be the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? Whatever goal it is, it has to be in that image. It has to be, well, what's another word for image? Picture. So that's the picture we have to have is Jesus Christ. So we set our mind to be like Jesus Christ. And then fill in the blank with what that looks like. All sorts of things. I've mentioned many of them this morning. Okay, now it's mid-February. What are we in need of? We got to go find that picture, pull that thing back out, and remind ourselves of what it is we set out to do. That's what renewing is like. Does that make sense? The scriptures talk about set your mind on things above, right? And then the scriptures, the one we read, refers to a need for renewing. That's how I would explain the difference. Last week's message, set your mind. This week's message, the need for renewing. Okay? You're actually here is a renewal. You see the way the Lord has that set up. If you go to John chapter 6, I got some verses I want to hit today, so I'm going to grab some stuff here somewhat quickly. What are some things that God has set up that can help us renew? Have we thought about this before? We set our minds when we became Christians. Amen? We said, no longer my way, but your way, Lord God. You signed on the dotted line of the new covenant contract. You said, I will offer my life as a living and holy sacrifice, God, because you are holy and true, and you hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I will do what you say in order to receive the reward. You set your mind. Been in need of renewing since then? Anybody? Ever lose a little bit of hope? Yeah. What are some things that the Bible teaches us, helps us renew? Like that picture did for me on the friend's trip to Old Faithful. Okay? For starters, the Lord's Supper. He has told us, as often as we come together, which we see is on the Lord's Day in the Scripture, do this, juice and crackers, in remembrance of me. And that is one of those things that the Lord has given us to help us renew our mind. John chapter 6, a lot that could be said. Grab verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves." How important is it to be here for the Lord's Supper? Jesus says, if you don't take it, you got no spiritual life in you. I think about the process of, I remember this was probably a couple weeks ago. Is my wife in here? Was Ethan the one, or was Reagan the one that got their finger wrapped on that cord and it was starting to turn a nice little blue purple color and I had to help them wind out of it? Well, who was that? It was Ethan. It was. Okay. So he had managed to get this cord wrapped around his finger, and the look in his eyes and his language is starting to panic, right? Never felt this before. He just knows this isn't good. This doesn't feel good. This is not good. My finger does not look good. And so, you know, as dad, you have to figure out how to remind them they're going to be okay, even though if you don't do anything, they're not going to be okay. Okay? You got to thank dads for that, you know? And Sam's like, uh-huh. Okay? Now, what if dad never gets that thing wrapped around Ethan's finger taken off? You know, how long is that finger going to, I don't even know the answer. Is it days? At some point, when that tissue no longer gets oxygen, because that's why you have red blood cells, okay? They take the oxygen you breathe in and they take it to the rest of your body. That finger gonna die. Yeah? That's what I think of when Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in yourselves. You know? You could miss one Sunday, maybe not give Jesus a thought. Okay. But after a while, that finger is going to start throbbing, and there's going to be pain. Then you have a decision to make, right? Do something with that pain, or try to ignore it. But you've gone too long, and it falls off. But this is one of the things that God has set up to help us renew. He's, you know, and I wish I could read all of John 6 this morning. I just don't have time. But he's not trying to scare us. It's a warning. That's all it is. Because there's life. Are we interested in life? He's like, this is the source of life. Like, if you want that, like you said you did when you became a Christian, this is where you got to keep coming to get the renewing, right? Okay? If you don't, you're going to lose that, all right? Very important, the Lord's Supper. You know, the assemblies, you know, they're designed for that. Today is an opportunity to renew. No matter what's happened this week, the highs, the lows, the disappointments at work, the disappointments in your own home, your shortcomings, other people's shortcomings that ended in your demise, whatever it is, you're here. Take the Lord's Supper to be reminded it matters. Suffering in the name of Jesus Christ matters. You know what's vain? Suffering. Not suffering in the name of Jesus and then dying. But one thing we all have in common is we all going to suffer. Might as well do it for the name of the Lord and receive an eternal reward. Amen? It's a reminder, a renewing, bringing that picture back up to front. This matters. Jesus is number one. He's the picture that I'm going to follow, and nothing will ever stop me from doing that. I mentioned the assemblies. I'll just hit 1 Corinthians 12 for this one. Just really like the way that the Holy Spirit does this here. You know, because it's really interesting. I will make this comment. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, you have the introduction to these spiritual gifts that were around in the first century. Okay? And in it, he has, towards the end, he talks about people using their gifts the right way. So if you can speak in other languages, make sure that you have an interpreter there. Goes on and on, all the way through chapter 14. Okay? And in the middle of this section, he says, God has placed each member in the body just as he has desired. On those who are less presentable, we should present more. And on those whom have less honor, we should bestow upon them an abundance of honor. And what was happening, because I always ask myself the question, because if you read chapters 12, 13, and 14, it is very clear about the organization and structure of the assemblies. Okay? This is how these gifts should be used. This is what the teaching should look like. Okay? And he's trying to help them because they weren't doing it right. What were they doing wrong? Well, he covers a number of issues, right? But these people who had these gifts were using them incorrectly. Largely the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Why were they using them incorrectly? For what purpose? Well, the congregation had put them on a pedestal. And they were using them as in a way to get the glory for themselves. It's the only reason I can think of why someone would do that. He makes the point. You have to do these the right way. You got people using the gift of tongues with no interpreter present. You got people being told that the gift of prophecy that they're supposed to stop when someone else begins, and that wasn't happening. Does that make sense? So there's a little bit of the context. And then in the middle of it, he says, God has placed all of us in the body just as he has desired. Okay, this is worth looking at. I want you guys to go to chapter 13 here real quick. All right, verse 1. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels... There's a gift of the Spirit, yes? And do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, gift of the Spirit, yes? And know all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith, gift of the Spirit, yes? And as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Right? They weren't using their gifts in a loving manner. Well, what happens to people when they're doing things not in the spirit of love? They're doing it from selfish motives. Right? James says that. Every evil thing. The result? Selfish ambition. Okay, but follow me here, because this has a point. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. I love this verse. Does it take a gift of the Holy Spirit to give your possessions to other people? He is addressing the whole church. And you've got this tension building between those who have the gifts of the Spirit and those who don't have the gifts of the Spirit. And those who have the gifts of the Spirit are kind of selfishly using it for their own glory and their gain. He is addressing the whole congregation. It does not take a gift of the Spirit to offer your body to be burnt. It does not take a gift of the Spirit to give your possessions to feed the poor. So now when we backtrack to chapter 12... Now it makes sense why he's talking about every one of us has been placed in the body exactly where God desires. There might be those who are less presentable. Who would that be? Say somebody who doesn't have the gift of the Spirit? There might be those who we haven't placed abundant honor on that. Who would that be? Probably somebody not in front of the congregation exercising the gift of the Spirit. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Okay, so he's talking about God has placed each one of us. Let's hit this verse here. Verse 18, he says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he has desired. And I finally figured this out because I was trying to understand what does the body being one, but having many members, and all these members being perfectly put in the body, yet some are less presentable and some are more presentable, have anything to do with the proper way to use the gift of tongues? I asked myself that question. And I realized, because he's talking about, in chapter 13, he's talking to those who don't have the gift, and for them to still do what they do in a spirit of love, yes? And those who have a gift to use it and to do it in a spirit of love, where they're glorifying God and not themselves, yes? Wherever position you're coming from, God has placed you perfectly in the body. Because this person says, well, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. People were saying, like, because I don't do this, or I'm not this member, or I'm not gifted with this gift, there was division. Okay? And I've said it a ton of times, to combat it, he uses the context of, if you're here, you are exactly where God wants you. Gift, no gift, guy, girl, we all have a role to play. Young, old. Does the congregation need older members who are kind of stuck in their way? Yeah. Does the congregation need older members who are reminded of what's important by the youthfulness and inspiration of younger members? Yeah. Because being stuck in your way for no good reason is also not very good. See, he's placed all of us perfectly in the body. Okay, so I had to give a little bit of context for how that's wedged in there. Because we usually just read that and we're like, oh, this is fun, my purpose matters. But I wanted you to understand where that verse comes from in its context. Okay, so if you're in the body of Christ, let's say assembled here right now, listening online in spirit, okay, you're exactly where God wants you. Okay. How important are the assemblies? Like, ever woke up and been like, I just don't really feel like going. I went this morning, why would I go tonight? Already went. Hey, it's not about you. It's not. How about the little kid that has the 12-year-old birthday party and invites 20 of his friends and three show up? Nothing but discouragement. The plans have been made. Tickets purchased to the jump park, the presents bought. What do you mean, man? We're still going to do the party, but the kid is dejected. Still going to get the presents, right? Still going to get to go to the jump park. Still going to get pizza for lunch, right? And the whole thing kind of feels not worth it anymore and no longer fun. Why? Because nobody showed up. It ain't about you. Man, when we are, like, And then what is God called the church for? It's like, we're the light of the world engaged in this battle against evil. We kind of need all hands on deck, huh? You're like, oh, I went this morning. It ain't about whether you already were here this morning. It's about, this is where the leadership has called an assembly. And we need you. Just like the 12-year-old needs his buddies to say, I'm here because I support you. Not because your birthday party sounds boring. Not because where they decided to go for fun, well, that sounds boring, or I don't like pizza, or we can't buy a gift. That's not why you go to the birthday party, is it? You go to show that person, I'm here with you. Rejoice with those who rejoice, Romans says, right? To me, it's even more truer here. Because we are engaged in something way more important and valuable than a 12th-year birthday party. These are the people God has assembled together to be the face of goodness and righteousness in this life, to overcome. And, man, we need each other. Because this is hard on your own, is it not? Talking about not losing hope and being renewed. Okay, the assemblies, a very valuable renewing tool that God has placed here for us. So we come together, brush elbows, exchange highs and hellos, and if possible, those who we know better, take an interest in their life and see how they're doing. Are they discouraged? Do we need to rejoice with them because they're rejoicing, or do we need to weep with them because they weep? I've seen three people crying today already, myself. And I know why every one of them is crying. That's not to my glory. I only talked to one of them. But I know why. And if I wasn't here, would I have any clue? How could I have helped someone else to stimulate them to love and good deeds, to encourage them? I'm just not here. A very important... So I'm not bringing this up like, hey, maybe you're not coming back tonight. I don't know. I don't ever ask you why. Okay? I'm not bringing that up to make you feel guilty because you don't show up tonight. I'm just trying to bring it out to show us why God's got it designed. We're here. And us coming is for the Lord first. And for us being at the birthday party saying, here, I support you and in your battle against evil. And I want you to overcome. And I want to see you succeed. And if that means rejoicing, then let's rejoice. And if that means weeping, then let's cry together. And at the end, let's pray to God. Because we are a team. Amen? He's got a number of things set up here to help us renew. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Really, really like this verse. Ooh, that got heavy fast. Try to lighten the spirit here a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Man, how important is it? God has given us to renew our minds, to study and memorize his word. How important is this? You know, we dedicate 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 hours a week in pursuit of something that we believe in. Every week, do we not? And we memorize rules and code and we gain new knowledge and we research, largely for a paycheck in some cases, right? But we all have hobbies, right? How does this rank in comparison to those things? You want to talk about renewing your mind? We constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. How cool is that? This isn't man's word, is it? It's just the guy who made you. I mean, how much of your time is that worth devoting to? Now, that begins with the assemblies, right? But does it have to stop there? Have your nose in this thing as much as you can. Ask questions. Hey, and even if you have the time and this is kind of your cup of tea, get in a Bible study with some of the brethren. You know, dig into this thing. It is the words of life, the scripture says. Okay, here's another one. Ephesians. And I'm gonna throw another plug in here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Hey, okay. Lord's Supper, renewing. Remember, I'm just trying to give us some things as we kind of near the end here. Just trying to give us something. What does the Bible have set up that helps us go back to the picture of the trip to Old Faithful to remind us of what we set out to do and the picture that surrounds that? The Lord's Supper, the assembly of the saints, his word, reading it, studying it, memorizing it. Man, I don't know what else you would read and study more than that thing. What manual or document is out there that would require more of your time than this? Everything else written by man. He says, you accepted it, the word, for what it really is. Not God's, not man's word, but God's word. Okay? And then he says, be filled with God's Spirit. How? By singing. But a lot of us kind of like, when I first, and I you got to be patient with people, right? When I first became a Christian, I was the one that went back. I didn't want anybody to hear me. Right? A lot of us feel like that. So we're a little hesitant to sing. Okay? No judgments here. right? I mean, if you're just like really off tempo and you're like throwing the whole group down, someone might come talk to you in a spirit of love. Like, hey, could you maybe keep up with us, right? I mean, when you're me and you can't do it on your own and you need the help of other people, like, that was pretty important. But, well, here's the story I always tell, right? At the YMCA, they have this one upper gym that's kind of, they multi-purposed it, and it's separate from the rest of the main gym. So they don't, the speakers don't pipe into there in this back room that's above the basketball court by the running track, if you guys know what I'm talking about. So they just have a little stereo, and I haven't been there in a long time. But when I used to go, they just used to have a little stereo sitting in the back, you know? And I always thought it was interesting because I like doing workouts where I would go from like pull-ups to running to lunges, and so I would go all over the building, and I'd get different music every place I was going, you know. And this little boombox is playing all this music in the background, and it got me thinking, why are they playing music in the gym? Music's powerful, isn't it? Have you ever even watched, like, TV and then just muted it and then watched, like, this movie scene that you like or something? You're like, it doesn't even hit near as close. You turn the music on, the violin's playing, the piano's going, the cymbals are crashing. You're like, dun, 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 dun. You're like, oh, here it comes. Like, music's, hey, but it's innately powerful, is it not? Is money powerful? So God says, take something that's powerful and use it for his good. You think music's any different than that? So we got to be careful what we're listening to, right? There's a whole nother conversation, but we're careful. You know, me, myself, I try to make sure that the music has a good message in it. Some of our own hymns don't even have a good message in them because they're Calvinistic by nature. And we're all black-hearted sinners predestined to all either make it or not make it. And we, you notice we always get up here and we're like changing the words because we're trying to conform it more into something that has a spiritual message, right? Okay, so music's powerful. So we got to sing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, not your neighbor. To the Lord. For your neighbor? So, I have said publicly many times, and even somewhat recently, I'm following Jared. I actually have a question for you afterwards. Music related. But he has told us, someone who can sing, and I have sang in singing groups with Jared. Okay, Mike was there. Mikkel was there, right? You were there? Yeah. This guy knows what he's talking about, and he can back it up in singing. And I'm really happy that if you ever move, we're probably somewhere appropriately following you, okay? Yeah, he's so much joking. But he has told us the best thing we can do is try to match the people around us, okay? So if you can sing and you know you can sing, sing at a level where I can hear you so I can match you, right? And that's only going to help us. But why do we do this? We sing in the school, and the kids are like, this is the day, you know. And the older ones, of course, they don't want to sing, you know. And the little ones want to sing, but, ah, da, da, da. You're like, okay, we got to find a happy medium here. But it's like we're resistant to it. You're like me when you're an early Christian. You don't want anybody to hear you because you're worried you don't sound good. And you probably don't. I don't know. I don't sound good. That one song we were singing, I probably hit three different pitches all in the same song. I don't know how to hold it, right? But I can follow Jared, okay? But it's scriptural, and he says it's a way to be filled with the Spirit. It's something that God's got set up to help us renew. We'll just finish in Hebrews chapter 5. This is a great verse to end with here. Hope you're encouraged today. Look, I don't know how many people are here this morning. The honest reality is, you know, 20, 30 of you won't be here tonight. And you work and you have obligations and things come up. And I understand that. I don't want to discourage you this morning. I want you to understand your importance and your value being placed into the body. And that, along with the Lord's Supper, are one of the biggest things with his word and singing that God's given us to help us renew. And we are in need of renewing. See it even just in the February fall off and the gym memberships. That's the nature of man. Okay? But we've got a goal that we cannot lose on. Yes? Like this isn't, you don't get to cancel your membership in the middle of February. Like every one of us here today, you make a personal commitment to yourself. You're going to make it to heaven. Yes? And if you've got your oxygen mask secured and then you're of any help to someone else, you go and make sure you help other people get there too. And I love that verse that we read in Ephesians. I'm out of time. Hebrews chapter 5, this always hits really hard for me. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Hey, is there a need to be growing in the church? Isn't it awkward when, you know, the 50-year-old wears PJs all day and doesn't have a job and lives in his parents' basement and plays video games? Doesn't nature just tell you that's not right? He's somebody who didn't grow up, right? Like, let's say my 5-year-old son who's in kindergarten right now, you know, sucking his thumb, goo-goo, ga-ga, you know, throws a temper tantrum because he doesn't get his bottle. Like, you would be like, well, that's unnatural because you're supposed to be growing, right? Then you got the 16-year-olds and they act the same way, right? You know. Well, nature tells us you're supposed to be growing. And then in Hebrews 5, he's like, y'all should be teaching the Word of God by now, but because of a lack of growth, you need the simple things taught to you. Which goes back in line why we would study and memorize the scriptures and be in Bible studies and understand God's teaching, right? Okay, so there is a need to grow. Personal growth. I love the topic. I love the new year. I love that as new creations, we can constantly grow. We can overcome anything. Some of us are angry. Some of us are happy. Some of us are embittered. Some of us are jealous. And that some of us are completely despairing. You can overcome all of it. That's the message of Christianity. And there is no other message in the world. You can do it. But step one, you've got to get a clear picture of what it is and determine to do it. Along the way, there's going to be some need for renewing. So what they tell you ahead of time is make sure that you've put those things in place when that time comes. Right? Hey, maybe I should go get a personal Bible study with somebody and really dig in and figure out how to become more patient and not be so angry. You know, I can, somebody just says one thing to me and I instantly am defensive and I'm ready to go down. Like, maybe I should study that out. Maybe I should, you know, sing a little louder in assembly. I mean, maybe not louder, but more heartfully, you know, whatever it may be. And then, hey, you know what? We missed a bunch of assemblies. God's got this set up. There's life here. That's not to make you feel bad. God's saying there's life in that meal. Come and be renewed. That day is coming, so get those things set in ahead of time so you know, okay, when that comes, I'm ready to do these things and they're set in place because I am ready to be renewed. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord. Oh, you are so patient. And I think about the verses where you teach us to forgive each other because you forgave us. Like, who would we be, like the parable, to be forgiven of a debt that we could not pay and then turn around and not forgive someone else for a smaller debt? And you have been so patient with us. Think about, well, then that's the level and extent of patience that we should extend to one another. And so we thank you for this process that each one of us has been placed here perfectly. There is a need to be renewed. There's so many verses that talk about this, and we know many of them. And just a reminder that we got to have these things set in place and committed to these things. Some of them even brought out today to help us make sure to remind ourselves of what is ultimately the most important thing, because the world will definitely distract us if it can to get away from the main thing and not keeping the main thing the main thing. So thank you for that reminder today, Lord, and for everyone that you've placed here perfectly as you have desired to help us all make it and to be a part of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.